Back here on ESPN Jamestown and NewsDakota.com, we're going to talk some Jimmy volleyball right now, as, of course, the men's team will start play next year. The NAIA National Championships just wrapped up this past weekend, and the head coach of the Jimmies, Riley Selman, was in Des Moines to take it in, but he joins us right now. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate the time, and look forward to talking a little volleyball with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're able to come by, and a good weekend, it sounded like, down in Des Moines. Benedictine Mesa won the title. I know this is the first year that it's technically sanctioned by the NAIA. They've had the Invitational before, but Benedictine Mesa takes it home.
Yeah, it was actually a great tournament, too. Donan Cruz, the head coach at Grandview, put together this, and he had a vision 3-4 years ago that he wanted to do this, to have an NAIA championship. And, you know, the top eight teams are there. And I think Mesa was the best team. They beat Grandview in the semifinal, and then they beat Aquintas out of Michigan, which is a similar program to what we're doing. They just started this year. It's their first year running. So a little bit of a surprise there for those guys to make it that far, but they played really well.
So is that kind of the maybe the blueprint that you're kind of looking at for next year?
Absolutely is. It's I got to watch that Aquintas team, and picked his brain a little bit. And we studied under some of the same guys, some of the same coaches, so we have kind of the same philosophy. But it's all about team. You know, the best teams played in the finals.
Well, and men's volleyball is obviously growing. Do you know how many teams it's up to right now?
45.
45. Yeah, I was going to say in the 30s somewhere. Yeah. So clearly it's growing, and I know you guys adding it is going to be big next year. But just, you know, going down there and kind of taking in that whole weekend, did you really begin to feel like it's maybe getting a little bigger as well?
Oh, I definitely felt the growth. You know, they asked me to be the keynote speaker on Monday night for the entire tournament. So I got to address all the athletes, and just to look out over the crowd of, you know, I don't know how many athletes were there, probably 70 plus staff. You could see it in their eyes. You can see the growth. You can see the opportunity. And the passion was evident on the court, man. Everybody was out there competing like it was their last match. It was really exciting for me. Got my juices flowing, and I'm ready to get the guys in here already.
Well, I know you're a competitive guy, and I'm sure you are ready to get going. We'll talk about your team in just a minute. A little bit more on that tournament. You mentioned Benedictine Mason, obviously, won it all. You thought they were the complete team. What kind of set them apart from everybody else?
Well, they just played as a team. A lot of the other teams had one or two really good individuals, you know, and I think if you look across any type of great team, especially volleyball, you have to have a complete unit. And with the no substitution rules in NAIA, you can put subs in at any time, and I think they used that to their advantage, putting guys in for serving, defense. They didn't let the ball hit the floor. You know, at that level, the ball is traveling at a pretty high rate of velocity, and these guys were digging the ball like my son was hitting at them. So it was pretty interesting to see. And like you said, it's a great blueprint for me to have in my mind. And moving forward, I'm excited about the process of building this team.
I guess I did not know that there's no cap on substitutions. So how does that kind of alter the way you want to run things?
Well, it's interesting because you can have one guy that can come in and just do a specific serving sub every time he gets around in his rotation. That's real advantageous, as well as just a guy that maybe is really solid on defense and we got to get the ball to the setter. We need a passing substitution. Maybe we have some guys that are more physical but can't pass the ball. So I can interchange those guys as I see fit. And I think NCAA allows 12 substitutions, I think is what the rule is. And at the international level, there's only 6. So I'm used to 6, which is, you know, unlimited. It's a lot different than 6. So I've been tweaking with some ideas, and I like the idea of it. It gives a lot of kids a lot of opportunity to play some volleyball.
Riley Salmon's our guest. He is the head coach of the Jimmy volleyball team. They will play their first season here in the next couple of, well, the next year. It'll be in February of 2020. When you look across these tournaments that you've gone to and begun your recruiting or almost done with your recruiting for year one, what do you see from volleyball growth in this country at all these tournaments and stuff?
Well, I'm going to start with Minnesota. So locally, there's 400 kids that are playing over there, and this is their first year in high school volleyball. It's now a sanctioned sport over there. So I'm going to go there in the next 3 weeks and try to lock up my last 4 recruits. But as far as the country, it's overwhelmingly growing to where the kids are putting it as their first sport. It's not, you know, a second, third sport as it was when I was growing up and where you see a lot of kids doing that. Now they're seeing these opportunities of all these schools popping up, and around their junior year, they're making it their primary sport. And I think that you have to do that in order to focus if you want to play at a collegiate level.
So when you've been going around to these different places and begun recruiting athletes, what are the few things that you look for to kind of pinpoint the guys you want in this program?
I look at attitude. I look at a lot of what they're doing away from the volleyball. You know, what are they, you know, and it's always nice to see a guy jump up and crush it, but you look at how he's interacting with his teammates during timeouts, how he's receiving coaching, things like that. You know, that's stuff that I always thought is an intangible. And, you know, I think the volleyball side of things, if we can get guys that are willing to come here and work, you know, we can help them with that. But the team aspect is something that's non-negotiable here.
Well, as somebody who doesn't know you extremely well but has begun to get to know you a little bit, I kind of feel like that's sort of the way you just sort of approach life in general, about, you know, about more of a community aspect as in just, you know, yourself.
It is, and that's probably over the past 4 or 5 years I've embraced that. You know, I think as human beings, we all need help. We all are vulnerable. We all work better as team, you know, and I had great coaches that taught me that. You know, it's not me just coming down and saying that. It's great coaches and mentors that have told me that over the past 4 or 5 years. And now that I have a chance to build my program, I totally see what they're saying. And I wake up every morning with a new aha moment and go, oh yeah, he's right. You know?
Well, and I like just, you know, seeing you on Twitter, like it really seems like you've bought into this whole, you know, being a Jimmy thing. You, obviously you don't have a team yet. You will next year, but I really like just seeing how you've, you know, sort of bought into the Jimmy family aspect of it.
Man, I couldn't know. I was sold on when Tom Hager, the first orientation I went to, and he started doing his Jimmy, you know, what it takes to be a Jimmy and what being a Jimmy is about. And I was a Jimmy before I got here. I just didn't know it yet. Now that I am here, I certainly embrace the aspect of hard work, being a great teammate, and doing all the little things. You know, I think that's something that I learned from Hager and Danny, that, you know, the little things get overlooked a lot. So I look for athletes that want to do the dirty work, want to go the extra mile. I want to be good people. And I try to do that every day.
I would never tell Danny this because no, I'm just kidding. I would tell him this, but I like the way he gets his guys to do things that are winning games without showing up in the score sheet. You know, and he really does a good job, I think, of getting guys to buy into that.
Oh, and I think that's the key of building a great team. I mean, I think a lot of people can build good teams to where, you know, everything that's getting recognized on the score sheet, as you say, is getting, you know, we're giving them a nice round of applause for that. But the guys that do the dirty work, the guys that are behind the scenes are what really build the championship level team. And that's what we're trying to do here.
Well, let's talk about what the team's going to look like. You know, you've got a big part of your recruiting class already set to go. What do you feel like is going to be sort of the identity of this team without having really seen them together yet?
I think that we're going to be really scrappy. You know, we're going to be like that Aquinas team. We're not going to let the ball hit the floor without everybody getting on the floor after it. We're going to be pretty physical. We won't be as physical as some of the other teams just because we're going to be real young. You know, we have 21 commits, and of those, 15 freshmen. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. However, we have some really good leadership coming in. Two guys that just won a state championship in California at the junior college level. Actually, they're playing this weekend for it. So yeah, we got to be really scrappy, and we got to want to outcompete every other team. That's going to be our identity, is to outcompete everybody.
Where have you gone to get some of these guys?
All over the country. We got some kids from Texas, 3 Puerto Rican kids, Wisconsin, Washington State, California, and I'm sure I'm missing someone else in there, but that's the majority of them right there.
I don't necessarily, you know, want to put you on the spot here with some names, but is there anybody that you kind of look at and think, you know, this guy could be something special?
Sure. There's 2 kids out of California that I think all of our kids are coming here to work hard. And I think a lot, the ones that I spoke to want to play professionally after their 4 years here at the University of Jamestown, which is great. Obviously that gives them motivation. And, you know, I told them I'd help them with that as long as they get their degree. You know, that's the first and foremost important thing for them to do. The 2 kids out of the Orange Coast Community College, Clark Steele and Braden Newman. Clark Steele's a little bit older. He's 23. And he potentially has some aspirations to play with the national team, as well as Braden does, who's a libero. So both of those kids coming in are great athletes, and they're great teammates. You know, so I look forward to both those guys getting here, as well as everybody else.
So what is sort of left to be done on your checklist these next couple months as you guys get ready to for your first season?
I got to get three more kids. We're looking for one more middle blocker, one more opposite, and possibly one more defensive specialist. So I'm going to go to Minnesota and do that. I'm working with the high performance team, which is the USA Volleyball under 19. I've been selected to be an assistant coach for them in July. And kind of just when I do that, I go and I learn how to game plan, learn how to organize practices a little bit more detail oriented. So I have to get all of that situated. I have it in my mind how I want it to work, but I think doing these events will really help me lock down a set pattern of what I want to do.
Riley Salmon's our guest. He's the head volleyball coach at the University of Jamestown. And obviously you haven't really waited to for your team. You've been jumping in a little bit with some JO this spring.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to get to work with the Blue Jays. And we have a really scrappy team. I think we're composed of mostly freshmen, sophomore, and juniors. And we actually have practice tonight over at the Newman. We've done fairly well so far. The girls are learning how to compete on every play. I think what they're learning from me is that, we're not allowed to take one play off. We make one good play, then we have to make another good play. And so far the growth has been significant, actually. I'm excited about the girls, and they really bust their tails. I mean, they come in and they work hard every single practice.
Yeah, it's Jamestown volleyball's in a pretty good spot right now. I mean, not only yourself, but then you have the Hegerleys who are pretty good at this whole coaching thing. So it's Jamestown volleyball is in good hands.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to be a part of it. Like I said, I think God puts us in places where we can help other people. And Hegerleys have definitely helped me. John probably checks on me three times a week to see how I'm doing, checks on how his kids are doing over there. Sarah checks in to make sure that the girls are all staying focused. So we're it's a team effort, man. It really is.
Well, I don't have anything else for you. Anything that I didn't ask you that you want to mention at all? Or
No, just look for us next year at that Final Eight. It'll be in Des Moines again, and that is our goal, is to get there. A lot of hard work to be done in that process, but we're looking forward to it.
I guess one thing, you mentioned you want to be in the Final Eight. How does the selection process go for that? Is it very similar to basically if you're in the top eight in the standings, or...?
It goes from a conference win. Who wins their conference, you get an automatic entry into it. So
do we have a conference?
We do, okay. And it's a little bit of a morphed conference. So we're in a hybrid conference, and in our North Division, which will be Morningside, University of Jamestown, Briarcliff, and Dort, we'll play them twice, and then in the Southern Division will be Park, Missouri Baptist, Lindenwood.
Yep.
And St. Louis School of Pharmacy, and we'll play them once.
Okay.
So the winner of that conference tournament will get an immediate buy into the tournament.
Gotcha.
And there's five of those conferences, and then there'll be three at-large bids.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't know that we were in a conference, but that's a good situation.
Yeah, it is. It's growing. I think the GPAC wants to have their own conference in the next 2 years, is what I've been told. And to do that, we've got to get six teams.
Okay.
And I see that probably happen in the next 2 or 3 years. I really do.
Yeah, you're at four right now.
Right.
So you're almost there.
Yeah, I see it happening in the next couple of years.
And we know Midland loves to add sports, so I'm sure they will have a volleyball team for too much longer. They've got everything. They've got their school. It's got bowling, and they've got archery, and they've got like everything in Midland.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them in there pretty quickly.
That is Riley Salmon. He is the head volleyball coach of the Jimmies. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
More to come here on ESPN Jamestown after this.